Folks, everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's what we learned from this last pandemic, right? That's where the Wellness Company comes in. You know the Wellness Company. We have their great doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough on all the time on our shows. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and the new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy, and most importantly, prepared. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications, so you know what you're doing. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even the bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw your way. Go to www.twchealth.com/justnews today in order. That's twc.health/justnews and use the promo code justnews to save 10%. Hello, America, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. I've got a special guest for you today. This is the sort of guest that brings energy, ideas, always makes news, but also gives it on the level, gives you stuff on the level. You're always going to get a straight talk from him. Dave Bossy, the founder of Citizens United, the Republican National Committee committeeman from Maryland, and a close advisor to President Trump for many, many years. And now, ready for this? He's now the chairman of the GOP Presidential Debate Commission that will decide all the primary debates and the formats and the hosts and the venues for the 2024 presidential election. What an extraordinary opportunity. Dave Bossy joining us. Listen, when you got a guy like Dave Bossy, you want to maximize every minute of the interview. So we're not going to go over today's headlines. I know you're smart enough and probably already have gone to Just the News, checked out the headlines. A lot of important news clicking around there. Check it out. But we're going to do a quick commercial break. When we come back, the one, the only Dave Bossy is with us. You're not going to want to miss this interview. You know what, folks? Stress may be why you can't lose weight. If you've got moderate to high stress like I do, a doctor-formulated weight loss supplement called Lean could be your solution. Chronic stress wreaks havoc on blood sugar, which can cause your body to store excess fat. Stress can also slow your metabolism, which fuels weight gain, and you know all about stress eating and sugar cravings, right? Now the good news. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to help maintain healthy blood sugar levels, help optimize metabolism, and keep your appetite under control. Now, if your life is a bit stressful like mine and you want to lose weight, add Lean to your healthy diet and exercise lifestyle. Now get 15% off and free shipping at takelean.com. That's takelean.com and enter the promo code JustNews15. That's the promo code JustNews15 at takelean.com. One more time, takelean.com. Statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and it's not a substitute or alternative for care from a healthcare provider. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a very special guest, the original founder of Citizens United, a man who can claim his group's name is on a landmark Supreme Court decision. How many people get to say that? And an important advisor to President Trump. We are joined today by the one and only Dave Bossy. Dave, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back, always.
It is an honor to have you. It really is. And you have your finger in so many different things. But I want to start with somebody that you've been an informal advisor for a very long time, trusted former President Donald Trump. He had a big event this weekend in North Carolina, seemed to get a very strong welcome in a state he took two times, a purple state he took two times. Tell us what the significance of this weekend was. What things did you see in Donald Trump? What signals did you get from him as you watched that event play out?
Well, that's a great question and a couple of things. As somebody who really focuses a lot of my attention on what the president has done over the last 5 years before we got elected, he got elected in 16 and since, delivering a very strong endorsement for Ted Budd for the United States Senate in North Carolina really will settle that campaign, you know, for the nomination down a little bit. I think that the president is influencing, and if you look at historically, he's endorsed in hundreds and hundreds of races over the years, and he wins almost every.
Yeah, his record's remarkable.
Literally only one or two, losses, and you know, it had less to do with him and more about the candidate. But the bottom line is, in a place like North Carolina, his influence in the Republican primary is going to be in my opinion, be seen as very strong, and you will see that race, I think, take shape here in the near future. So one of the things that he did was reestablish himself in North Carolina, show up to say thank you to North Carolina for two wins. And of course, his daughter, Laura, you know, got up and spoke and actually had been rumored to be thinking of running for the Senate in North Carolina and obviously made the case that she was not at this time going to do that. But the president talked a lot about the things that we as conservatives, as Republicans, want him and need him to be talking about. And that is Joe Biden's utter destruction over the last 4 months of President Trump's recovery, economic recovery that he was leading, coming out of the pandemic, trying to get to the bottom of the pandemic and where it originated from, whether it was from, you know, a bat at a wet market or whether it was from a Fauci organized, Fauci funded, you know, Wuhan lab that had gain of function research that was overseen by Fauci. So we're going to find those things out over time. But the president made the case that China owes the world an explanation. They have to be transparent, which you and I are not going to be, and they owe money. You know, the reparations aspect of this and $10 trillion for the U.S. I think is the right starting point. You know, I just think that we definitely need to do that. So the president is talking about Joe Biden and the terrible job he's doing on jobs and regulations and policy, and look at the open borders and the crisis at the border. We have the Middle East is on fire after 4 years of relative calm. We're just seeing the whole world turn upside down because of this transition to weakness. And the president talked a lot about that, but he also talked about winning back the House and Senate in 2022, that our candidates need to be talking about the important issues that the American people care about. Not what AOC cares about, what the American people care about. And that's where the disconnect for the Democrats are. And that's why we're going to win back the House and Senate and shorten Joe Biden's destructive presidency to 2 years.
It is remarkable. You know, when you listen to that speech, it was a very simple but straightforward argument. Like Donald Trump makes, you know, he has a way of just resonating. When I turned the keys over to Joe Biden, the border was at a historic low of illegal immigration. There was peace in the Middle East. Gas was $2. There wasn't inflation, and the economy was doing quite well, given the fact that we had been in a historic pandemic. And now look what Joe Biden's did, and just the way he did it. You know, if you're an average American sitting back looking at it, you're going, you're right, God, 4 months, a lot has gone in a different direction. And I think seeing him in that role, talking about the grievances of the American people was so, you know, that's when he's quintessentially Trump, when he's most successful. He's talking about the grievances of the American people.
There's no question. And he speaks for the forgotten men and women. That's how he got elected to begin with.
100%.
But the most expected but still disappointing thing for a guy like me is the lack of coverage of the speech. He goes and he gives us, you know, a major address since his presidency, and the mainstream media does not want to cover it.
They don't
cover it live, and they don't want to cover it in the hours and days after, because they don't want to give him oxygen. Because every day Joe Biden's policies, Joe Biden is driving the American people back into the arms of Donald Trump. And that's really, at the end of the day, what the weekend was about in North Carolina, his opportunity to do it again in the future if he so chooses.
It's remarkable to me to have seen two things happen about 48 to 72 hours apart. Donald Trump give this speech, you know, one of his first post-presidency public appearances, and CNN and Fox don't really have anything live. And, you know, Real America's Voice was covering it live here, our partner network, but not many were. And then 72 hours, CNN's blathering over an interview it got with Barack Obama that gets, you know, widespread media coverage. And you say, well, how can one former president get all that mainstream coverage and the other one be shunned? And then people say, well, that's been the story of the last 5 years. The media is just not neutral anymore. They're not neutral.
We know the answer. Yeah. I mean, the American people are smart.
They are.
They get it. They see media bias every day. They see it, whether it's on Facebook and them banning the president for 2 years, Twitter, these big tech companies. But the big tech companies are no different than the Washington Post and the AP and the New York Times and ABC and CNN and NBC. They're all the same. They're run by the same corporate liberal elitists that want nothing to do with Donald Trump. They didn't want anything to do with him in 16, but they thought he was good ratings. And then in 2020, they harmed his campaign by not giving him the amount of oxygen, the amount of coverage that an incumbent president would normally get, because they didn't want to be a party to him winning re-election. I mean, that's what he was up against. The president was up against an unbelievable array of forces against him. This is a divided nation. We just are. And the Senate is literally 50-50. The Democrats have a 4-seat majority, the slimmest majority in 100 years in the House of Representatives. And the presidency was decided by 42,000 votes in 3 states.
It's amazing.
And by the way, there was still questions in corruption and ballot harvesting and all of these things that still get called into question. Yeah. But it doesn't, it's the divided nation. And that's really, Joe Biden did not receive a mandate to go and run amok with this left-wing socialist agenda that, quite frankly, Donald Trump promised wouldn't happen if he was reelected. And Joe Biden, remember, famously said, do I look like a socialist to you? Well, you know what? You do, Joe.
Yeah. Listen, there was a moment yesterday that I've been in covering Washington 30 years. I haven't seen a moment like this. We have our vice president in Guatemala, and the Guatemalan president is lecturing her. It's your immigration policies that created this whole problem. And she had no answer, because at the end of the day, all she could say is, I hope people stay home, which, by the way, made the left wing of her party mad at her. But what a moment on the stage to show the difference from where we were in December. Kamala Harris's first few months, they felt pretty bumpy to me. I mean, maybe as bumpy as the Dan Quayle entry. You know, he had a rough entry, I think, as vice president. I think there's something about Kamala Harris and the American people that are just not connecting right now. How do you see it?
I agree with that. I totally agree. And you know, for him to have lectured her about your policy created this problem on one hand, and then on the other hand, he makes her put on a mask.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I missed that part.
He makes her stop. And as they're walking away from their bilateral, press conference, which is normal.
Right.
He makes her put on a mask.
I missed that nuance. Wow.
It was unbelievable. He sent her back to her podium to get her mask and put it on.
How about that?
The level of disrespect, to be quite honest with you, of their president and our vice president was palpable, because he knew that she was pandering and he treated her as such.
Yeah.
And you're exactly right. He called her out, and for her to say with such conviction and passion and zeal that stay home, don't come. Joe Biden was on the presidential campaign trail telling everyone to come.
Yep. We welcome
you. Kamala Harris was telling everybody to come.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they realize, hey, John, it wouldn't be surprising to me if all of a sudden, without any announcement, some of that wall continues to get built. Okay.
Yep.
You're going to see
maybe
some walls going up, and they're going to blame, we had contracts and we had no choice.
Yeah.
Right. We had no choice because they were already paid and we had the contracts. So we just
had a choice
to finish it. But I'm telling you, they need to do something. This border crisis is now becoming a political crisis for the Biden administration, and it is not getting better. It's only getting worse. Look, nowhere did you and I think 120 days ago, this would be this bad this early.
It's been a really shocking period. I mean, I think of just things that I've looked at, and, you know, sometimes little moments speak big volumes. We had the Mexican president and the German chancellor lecturing America about free speech, the land of free speech, and because they couldn't believe our country would censor, you know, a current or a former president on social media. And they're like, we can't let this happen in our countries. What a remarkable moment. And I think that this whole last 5 months has made America a little bit of a caricature in the eyes of all these countries that have looked at us with such esteem and aspiration. We want to be like America. For the first time, they're like, we're not so sure we want to be like you guys right now. It's a remarkable moment.
No question. But you know what also they're thinking? I believe that the leaders, the Merkels of the world, they're very savvy. They're very smart.
Oh,
she's been around for a long
time. She knows how to maneuver.
Successful. Right.
Okay. 100%.
You know what she's realizing?
What's that?
She's realizing Joe Biden is driving those Americans that voted for him, those are the marginalized, the downtrodden, right? The forgotten men and women who he said, you know what? We need the adults back in charge. That was their argument, right? We want the adults back in charge. We're going to have calm. We're going to have order, right? We're going to get away from this crazy Trump guy. That's what they would say.
Yep.
It's crazy.
That was their
argument. They were totally wrong about it. Now they're driving. I think the Merkels of the world, they're saying, Joe Biden's driving those people right back into the arms of Donald J. Trump, and that it's going to give him an opportunity to run again in 2024 if he so chooses. That's part of the equation that the Biden folks aren't even considering. The American people go to the gas pump every day. They're watching the news of the border crisis. They're seeing Israel, you know, in just being attacked. Everything that they said wouldn't happen, right? Put the adults back, the so-called adults back in charge. Hey, guess what? People looking back going, miss, you know, Donald Trump is, you know, miss me yet? I think there's something to that.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're starting to see it in the polling. I mean, the polling clearly shows that particularly Republican voters want him back and hope he runs. And if he does, he's their preeminent choice. When you look at the last week, we had some elections down in Texas, both in a border town that was heavily Hispanic and in Fort Worth, where Democrats thought for the first time they were going to take that mayoral seat, and Republicans triumphed in both places. What do you see? I mean, you're so good at handicapping races and understanding and interpreting. What message do you take from those election wins for Republicans over the weekend?
For a couple of things. One is the conservative movement is alive and well, and the Republican Party is alive and well. And for people to think, four months of really bad policy, is making people miss Donald Trump, and that's what's being seen. Now, you had the New Mexico seat, which was a heavily Democratic seat,
right,
that went for the Democrat in a special election to replace one of the cabinet secretaries.
Right. Yep.
And that
Interior
was to a
Secretary.
Democrat. And
Holland.
And the Democrats were like, "What a great day! What a great day I think it's like a D plus 15.
Yeah, it's a deep blue seat.
It's a deep blue seat, and they won it by 15 or 18 points, and they wanted to celebrate that, saying this is a good omen for the midterms. Those things have nothing to do with each other, right?
Yeah.
Like we are going to see what's happening in Texas. The Democrats said for the last several cycles that we are going to be able to win statewide in Texas because, you know, of the change in the demographics of the state, because of all of these things. Well, guess what? They're just like Joe Biden's policies around the world, his economic policies, are driving voters back to us. Those voters in Texas want to have nothing to do with the Democrat Party. And that's why, you know, one of the most important people in the country today is Joe Manchin. And I think Joe Manchin, you know, has to be thinking about changing parties. They are driving him. It's very much like Ronald Reagan. If you remember Reagan's famous line, you know, I didn't leave the party. The party left me.
Yeah.
Right. That's what Reagan said. But when he had been a Democrat, you know, for a long, long time. And he said, you know, the party left me. And I think if you're Senator Manchin right now, that's kind of what you feel like. You feel like the party is now the AOC, right? Tlaib party,
yeah.
not the party of John F. Kennedy,
yep.
right? I mean,
well, Kennedy would be a Republican today. Let's face it.
You know, no question. Yeah. That's my point, right?
Yeah.
It's not the same party. And I think Joe Manchin is being attacked with, he's being called a racist.
It was unreal. The media coverage. Yeah. And the media coverage too.
What they are doing to him, and they're driving him. And by the way, I mean, you know, it's an obvious statement to make, but if he changes parties, the world changes and Biden's administration is over. It's effectively over because you go from Senate Majority Leader Schumer to Senate Majority Leader McConnell, and nothing in the Biden administration gets done. Nothing. It's, between now and election day.
You feel pretty confident. You're pretty good at making these prognostications and reading tea leaves.
You've done it for years. We're going to win back the House.
Yeah. What do you think? It's possible that the Democrats push Joe Manchin into the Republican Party still this year?
I hope so. And I hope they continue their assault on him. I hope they continue their attacks on him, because he is not somebody to just, you know, shy away from that and cower. He is going to, I think, react in a way that they won't like. So he's a very common sense person. He's from West Virginia, very common sense.
And he knows his constituency so well.
And by the way, it's going to be hard for him to win with a Biden on the ticket, right, as a Democrat in 2024.
Good point.
He has to think about his future and whether he wants to run again as a Democrat in a state that is not exactly hospitable to Democrats statewide.
Right.
And he in 2018, in what was a good year for Democrats, he only won by about 16,000 votes statewide against a really great guy, okay, the sitting attorney general of West Virginia. But he wasn't the most well-known. He wasn't well-funded. And he didn't have a really good campaign, to be candid. And he only lost by like 16 or 18,000 votes. That's Joe Manchin winning in a year where he should have won over by an overwhelming number and not against a strong candidate. And now you have people who even the attorney general could run again. But you have Alex Mooney, who is a great conservative member of Congress. There's going to be redistricting, so they're losing a congressional seat. So you're going to have one of the members of Congress, one of the three Republicans, looking to potentially for a job, and they could be running against a Joe Manchin. And that's a different animal altogether. So, look, I think that Manchin has a lot of thinking to do, but he's doing a great service for America and for the Constitution and for our liberties and freedoms every day that he holds them up, that he stops them, that he slows them down.
You know, his op-ed was so thoughtful over the weekend. It was in the Charleston newspaper, and it said, listen, the reason I'm opposing this isn't a bipartisan election bill. This is a partisan takeover, and we don't need any more divisiveness in this country. He called out his party for creating legislation that was dividing the country instead of uniting it, and it was very thoughtfully done. I mean, a lot of times op-eds, you look and go, political op-ed, okay. There was a sense of passion and thought to it that was quintessentially Joe Manchin. I mean, when you get to see him on the stage, you see who he is, and he is that common sense guy. That's why he connects with all those blue collar workers in the state.
There's no question about that. You're exactly right. And what he did on the, you know, that was on HR 1.
Yeah, S1, right.
S1,
yeah.
Senate,
yeah. Right.
On the, you know, this Anti-Citizens United legislation, really what it is.
That's right. Good point.
They poured in all the, you know, election integrity stuff that they wanted, so-called left-wing mail-in ballots and making all these things permanent. But it wasn't a for the people bill.
Right.
But Joe Manchin also has stood tall against killing the filibuster.
Yeah.
And he believes in the process. He believes in the history of the United States Senate's filibuster more than he believes in AOC's left-wing socialist agenda. And that's we need more people like Joe Manchin, not less. We need more people like Kyrsten Sinema, not less. And by the way, those people that used to be called blue dogs, right? You don't even hear that term anymore.
No, it's a lost art, but there are a few of them left.
There's only a couple, though.
Yeah,
and that's the problem. We used to have a huge group of of Democrats that were elected, and now they've all been primaried by the AOCs of the
pushed
world,
out.
Right? And they get pushed out, and now the Democrat Party is not the party of the working men and women of this country. It's a socialist party, and we just need to call it out for what it is.
There's no doubt that the party has changed in really magnanimous ways. I got two last questions for you. One of them is really a policy related. When you look at what's going on in the school districts across America, whether it's Loudoun County, which I think is sort of the ground zero for this, the debate over an extremist ideology in the school curriculum versus a patriotic school curriculum like the 1776 curriculum that President Trump left behind on his last day in office, how big a deal is the fight for America's schools, and how might that play out in the 2022-2024 election?
Well, first of all, I think the parents are the one thing that that I can thank the you know, the teachers unions for is the great parent awakening. And you are seeing parents across the country, whether it's in Loudoun County or a county near you, wherever you are in this country, the parents have said enough is enough. We are not going to be masking our children, and we're not going to be teaching them from the kitchen table where so you don't have to go to work. We're going to be back in school, and we're going to teach an America first, you know, not politically, but an America first,
right,
historically agenda. And that's what the left doesn't want. I mean, the left knows that the for them to win, it's generational. And if they can use this, you know, critical race theory and other, you know, insane teaching policies, it is going to change our children for the future. And parents are not standing for it. And they're firing school boards across the country right now. And I got to tell you, I think that if you look at, you know, look at Ron DeSantis as an example, he's saying anybody in the state of Florida, if you're running for the school board, I'm coming for you. If you are going to be a supporter of critical
unambiguous
race, that's right. And that's why I say, so 2022, 2024 is going to be great, because the American people are going to reject soundly all of this. Yeah, you'll have your pockets of San Francisco and other places that will do that. Hey, more power to them. People will move out of there. You know, the population of California will continue to
decline,
right?
Yeah.
And hopefully they don't take their left-wing policies to these conservative states. But I think they're going to get to places with lower taxes, better quality of living, better run states, and they're going to recognize the reason why. And I think that that's what we need as a Republican Party to grow the party. So I'm excited about the answer to your question, which is 2022 and 2024, we're going to see a complete and utter rejection of the Biden-Harris socialist agenda for America, and we're going to see an embrace of American exceptionalism. And that's what America was founded on. And that's what America has been for the last 240 years, and that's what it's going to be for another 40.
We had a great story over the weekend. $8 billion of personal income fled California in 2020. That's how many Californians left the state and took their income with them to Texas or to Florida, other warm and more tax and less regulatory unfriendly states. $8 billion in a year lost revenue, just a remarkable fact. People do vote with the ballot. They also vote with their feet when policies get too extreme. Last question, because this is about you. You had a big announcement come up, and you were just named the chairman of the Republican Presidential Debate Commission. That's a big deal. Congratulations, first. What do you got
Thank
in mind?
Thank you very much.
What do you got in mind? That's always a really fun,
well, you know,
that's an important job.
It really is, John, and it's really one, and I get a lot of really cool volunteer jobs in my life.
Yep.
You know, one of them helping the president, you know, over the last 4 years.
Sure.
But this job is going to have impact. Being able to participate and be the decision maker as chairman of the committee, you know, one of the decision makers, you know, for how the primary debates, when they begin, what networks get to host them, what the moderators, you know, are about, and the questioning, and all of the rules of who gets to be on the debate stage, all of those you know, when we guys like you and me, John, when we Monday morning quarterback all these debates over the years, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Why did they do that? Why did they let that happen?
Yeah.
Well, now
the buck stops with you.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I'm going to call down that on myself, but I think that, you know, it's really going to be a great challenge. And then we pivot immediately. I've already begun working and negotiating on with Frank Fahrenkopf, the chairman of the Presidential Debate Commission for the general election,
right?
And,
yeah,
and so we're already talking about, you know, the makeup of the commission and how some of those commissioners, you know, said really negative things because they're supposed to be, you know, nonpartisan.
That's the whole purpose of the commission.
And exactly, and they're supposed to not take sides. And some of the commissioners over the years said incredibly negative things, nasty things about President Trump, both in 16 and since. And so, you know, we have conversations about that. We have conversations about unilateral decision making by the commission. Remember, they went to a virtual debate without any, without any conversation. They changed the second debate in 2020 to a virtual debate, and of course, it never happened. But these things, there's a lot of things that, and then of course, you had the moderator issues.
Right. Oh God, did we ever have the moderator issues last time? Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yeah. So yes. I mean, it's a constant problem with them.
Yep.
And so we've already begun the conversation. We've already had meetings and gone back and forth with, you know, positions so that we are able to early on notify our potential nominees whether or not they should be looking to do business with the Presidential Debate Commission, because there's a lot of Republicans who say we should just go do it a different way.
Yeah.
Because they've been so frustrated.
The last 4 years have really opened people's eyes to it. Yeah. You would never have thought of it before then.
No. So I'm excited about the opportunity to serve in that capacity. And I'm excited about, if you have good ideas, folks, you know, send them my way.
That's really a great idea. You know, one of the more exciting parts about 2024 is that the television landscape will be so different than it was, let's say, in 1996 when, you know, debates were always on cable. But you've got all of these places now where people are watching TV without a cable box, without even a cable cord, streaming devices, and the opportunity to give the debates a fresh format and to give new players an opportunity to play, I think, is going to be one of the most exciting aspects of the 2024 election, and it's going to be right in your hands.
Well, John, I hadn't thought of that. I wonder who has a new platform.
I know a company called Real America's Video, Real America's Voice. They're awesome. But yeah, there's a lot of fun, players. And, well, you know, who knows, it'll be here before 2024. It's going to keep changing. And so
that's exactly right. You don't know where it's going to be then, but you know, but to your point though, is there are so many new and up and coming opportunities for debates to be held, for moderators, right? For potential moderators that have never been done, things that just have never been done before.
Historic.
You know, we could host, and I haven't even talked to these guys about it, so I'm going to throw out their names anyway. Yeah. But you know, we could have a debate where we could have Mike Huckabee, Newt Gingrich, and Rick Santorum, three former
presidential candidates
who really know the business, understand, and their TV personalities themselves.
They've got the command
how to act, and they know, they got the command of the facts and the issues, but they also know how to ask questions.
Yeah.
And I think it would be just interesting to see former candidates ask.
Right? Yeah.
I find it to be, you know, there's so many things like that, that have never been tried before. You know, we're going to have so many debates. We need to keep it fresh and new and interesting.
Such an exciting opportunity, and I couldn't have picked a better person to take on the challenge and turn it into something that people will remember. It's just great. So congratulations, Dave, and thank you for all the time. I feel like I could talk to you for hours. I mean, every time we get together, we're always brainstorming, but it's an honor to have you on this podcast, and thank you for all you do for your country, sir.
Thank you. Look forward to doing it again soon.
All right. That's great. All right, folks, we're going to have a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up for the day. Hey, folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing
56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a 4-year AMAC membership for just $30. That's right, you heard me right, 4 years for 30 bucks. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special, 4 years for $30, and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews.
All right, folks, that wraps it up for the day. What a great opportunity to talk to Dave Bossie. I think some of the things he talked about, how the world is looking at America under the Biden-Harris leadership team, was very insightful. Sometimes the Alice in Wonderland looking glass phenomenon, when you start to look through the interpretations, comments, statements of people looking at America, you get a sense of what we might really look like ourselves if we could just get above the fog of war. And I think Dave really did that in some of the comments he did today. And of course, some exciting things to think about on the debate commission, where he's going to be the chairman. And of course, presidential election, how to read the most recent election results in states, and of course, all the policies that are going to be out there, including critical race theory and some of the school agendas, curriculum that are causing a movement, a parents' movement in America. And that's a serious movement. This is not some isolated thing. It didn't just happen in Loudoun County, Virginia, a few miles from my house. It is happening all over the country. People, particularly parents, are waking up to what their children have been taught or what they're about to be taught, and they're saying, not in my child's head, you're not. You're not getting that in there. And there is a movement across this country that we're going to chronicle. We already do. We have a full-time reporter that's really working on this. If you haven't checked out his work, Greg Piper joined us about 6-8 weeks ago. We're so grateful to have him. He is a subject expert on cancel culture, on school curriculum, on the First Amendment, and attacks on freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of association. A true journalistic expert, and one who stays neutral, just writes the facts, a guy you can really appreciate. Check him out regularly at justthenews.com. He always has a really interesting story, something that I go home and talk to my wife about, or when we're at the water cooler, say, did you see Greg's story today? And it's always interesting. I'm going to try to get him on this show soon, because what is going on, particularly in school boards and in college campuses, is a historic battle that I think will identify the next generation of freedom of speech in America. You're not going to want to miss it. I will have him up here soon. All right, before we go for the day, I want to shout out one of our great partners here at John Solomon Reports at justthenews.com. And the reason they mean so much is that I run a small business for the first time. I own my own company, Just the News and Bentley Media Group. And so when we get going, we want to spend all of our time on content creation, on television, on radio, on newsletters, on your subscription club, the VIP club that we created. And we don't want to spend a lot of time on HR, but it's important that somebody spend a lot of time on HR so you don't stub your toe, you don't get into litigation, you treat your most important asset in your company, your humans, your employees, the best way possible, get the most out of them, create a teamwork environment. And what better way to do that without having to spend all your time on it, but to go with my good friends at Bambee, B-A-M-B-E-E. Bambee HR are some of the best folks. And guess what? It's $99 a month, just $99 a month to have a dedicated HR manager from Bambee available by phone, email, real-time chat, anytime when you need him to address it. This will take the HR nightmare out of your dreams and put you to sleep at night, sleeping better because you've got good policies, good advice, good approach, and a good demeanor, good connection with your employees. So they've got a great deal for the first time ever. Check this out. You're going to hear about this. This is a Just the News, John Solomon Report exclusive. Ready for this? For the first time ever, Bambee's offering you a free trial at Bambee.com/Just News. Check this out. Bambi.com/justnews. It's spelled Bambi, BAMBEE.com/justnews. This is their best offer ever, a free month of HR advice. You'd be crazy not to take this. If you're a small business owner, you got a company, take them up on this. They are true experts. You will not regret going to their website, signing up, and getting the free month trial. You'll be with them for a long time. I have that confidence. So today, all you got to do, go to Bambi.com/justnews, Bambi.com/justnews to take advantage of this historic once-in-a-lifetime offer from our good friends at Bambi. All right, now that I planted that seed in your head, it's time to let you go, get you to dinner, get you home, get the cool kids doing homework if they have any more left before school ends, get planning a vacation. Hey, we're allowed to be free again. We go out of our houses. Do something great tonight with your family, with your friends. Embrace and appreciate all that God has blessed you with in your life. I know I'm going to go home and do that tonight as well. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with more news. We're going to have some scoopy stuff coming out in the next few days. And until then, until we get going, I want to wish you a blessed night. May God bless you. And I know he's going to continue to bless this amazing country, the United States of America, as he always has. You've been listening to the John Solomon Reports podcast from justthenews.com.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.